Romans 4 and 7, the title of the message is Saved by Grace Before the Law. Saved by Grace Before the Law. Grace was before the law. Did you know that? Grace is before the law. Got a cough drop in my mouth today, and I hope I don't cough too much when I'm trying to do this. The Albuterol I took to an inhaler, and that like to shook me to pieces. Makes me really, really nervous. I'm reminded of an old story one time. I used to preach about 4 or 5 hours a day, and sometimes I put a cough drop in my mouth. And I've always preached about an hour, somewhere around there. And I preached about 1 hour and 10 minutes one day. He said, well, one of the church members come up, and he said, I thought you put a button in your mouth instead of a cough drop. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he said, you always cough put that cough drop in your mouth and you preach until the cough drop is gone. He said, as an old preacher one time did that, and he put a button in his mouth, he just kept on preaching for about 3 hours. It never did dissolve. I'm sure I won't do that today. But, and I don't have a button in my mouth. The book of Romans is a miniature gospel, isn't it? It is a gospel in this restates the life of Christ. It seems like it restates the whole Bible. This is God's romance with humanity. And the Jews have got this obsession with the law, don't they? The Seventh-day Adventists have got this obsession with the law. So many people have an obsession with the law. Well, the law is good, isn't it? It tells us what we're not supposed to do. And our heart condemns us also with what we're not supposed to do. It does. But the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, had these things to say. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven. Lawless deeds, outlaws. Outlaw deeds have been forgiven. And whose sins have been covered. Blessed. What does that word blessed mean? Just, what is it? What does it mean? It's makarioi. Makarioi. And that means happy. It means euphoric. Euphoric. When a person realizes that their sins have been forgiven, they are really happy. Sometimes it takes years to realize that because of bad theology. Sometimes it takes years to realize that you've been forgiven. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful joy to be forgiven by God, to know you get to go to heaven. We got 3/4 of the people in the world today trying to work the way to heaven, don't we? Trying to do more good deeds and bad deeds, and they just... they have no assurance if they die. How would you like to be a Catholic today? You got to go to purgatory. Somebody's got to help you get out of there. You know, you got to get some of these extra merits or something. Pray for you after you're dead. People call me a lot of times, say, pray for my brother. He died. There's nothing I can do for his brother or his mother or his sister or his wife or her husband or whatever. I can't do anything for them after they die. That's done for. I mean, there is no more, nothing we can do after that. It's over with. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, whose sins have been covered. Look at that word, whose sins have been covered. The sins of them. That's hamartia there. Remember what hamartia means? Hamartia. Sharon, remember what hamartia means? Hamartia. That one goes out of bounds. We have gone out of bounds so many times. Out of bounds. I know so many preachers will say that the word hamartia means to miss the mark, but it does not mean that. Astokio means to miss the mark. Thayer made a mistake. Did you know these lexicon writers can make mistakes? He took the Hebrew word chatha and put it over into the Greek and said that the word hamartia was its equal in the Greek language. It is not. It's astokio. In Romans 3:23, we have both of those words in one sentence. We have all gone astray. That's hamartia. And we have missed the mark. Missed the mark. We've all gone astray here. We've gone astray. Whose sins have been covered. Blessed is a man in whose sin the Lord will not take into account. We pay for our sins as saved people here, don't we? We do. If you sin after you're saved, which we all do, but if you rebelliously sin after you're saved, you're going to rebelliously get your head chopped off or beat up by God. But we'll never go before the Lord with those sins. It's been covered. It's done. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
That man on the cross, that outlaw on the cross, that outlaw. He was a Sicarii, wasn't he? The old Barabbas gang. They had been murdering, killing people all over. Their jobs were assassins. They were assassins. And one of the assassins says, kept insulting him, and then the other assassin goes over there and he says, don't you realize that we're guilty and we're dying for our sins, for what we've done? But he has done nothing. And then he looked at the Lord and he said, please remember me when you come in your kingdom. He said, this day you'll be with me in my kingdom.
Amen.
That's what it is right there. He trusted in him right there. That's it. Nothing else. Saved by grace. 9. Is this blessing then upon the circumcised? Who are the circumcised? Who are those guys? The Jews. Or upon the uncircumcised? Who's that? Gentiles. Us. Usins, yeah. Ewins and usins. Also, for we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. Now, was it? It was. Faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. How then was it reckoned while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? While he was uncircumcised, wasn't it? He believed he had faith before he was circumcised. Now, the word barith is a covenant. Barith means covenant. Something like this. Barith. Barith. And in Greek, it's like this. Diatheke. Now, barith means cutting. That's what it means, cutting. A cutting. You know, originally they laid out two tablecloths or pallets or blankets, whatever you want to call it. They would cut an animal. They sacrifice animals. They'd put one half the animal on one side, one half the animal on the other side, and they'd walk between them. And they cooked these animals, all these animals. And they gave each other their shoe. And then they would sit down for however long it took for 3 or 4 days to eat all those animals. And they fellowshiped together, eating all those animals. Well, Abraham did this. He took birds, he took animals, and he cut them and divided them there and put them on the pallets. And what did God do to Abraham? He put him to sleep. He hypnotized him. That's what it says. He hypnotized him. Zap. He was in a hypnotic trance. And in that hypnotic trance, he saw the Shekinah glory of God walked down between those two pallets. God signed that covenant by himself. That is the covenant of grace.
Amen.
And it's called what kind of a covenant? An unconditional covenant. It has no conditions as far as man is concerned. Only God. Unconditional covenant with man. It's barith. Now, there was a after the flood, now is this all before the law? Is it before the law?
Yes.
Okay. before the flood, what was a sign of the covenant at that time? What was the sign of the covenant before the law? Rainbow.
Well, this may be a rainbow.
That's right. Absolutely. The rainbow. The rainbow was a sign of the Noahic covenant. The covenant God went with, made with Noah. And this covenant meant what? That God would never destroy the earth with water again. And we have this rainbow. Now you have to realize that before the flood, they may have never seen a rainbow. They had never heard thunder. They had never seen lightning. All of this happened during the flood. Tremendous. There were three sources of water. You remember what those three sources of water were? What were they? Young lady? Three sources.
From the earth.
From the earth. That's the Pigae, the springs of the deep.
From the heavens.
And then there was an ocean in the sky. Now here's the earth. And above the earth, out there in the Hashemayim. Hashemayim means what, young lady?
The uplifted
waters. There was an ocean in the sky before. There was a complete ocean. The sky was a complete ocean. You understand that? It's like a bubble. You know how many of you ever blew bubbles when you were a little kid or whatever? You know, you blow bubbles. Just imagine that bubble, that water on that soap, is the ocean that surrounded the earth. Somebody had a little device one time that they could put little objects in these bubbles as you blew them. And you could blow these and you see these little objects inside of those bubbles. The earth was the object inside of this great ocean in the sky. And it completely surrounded the earth on all sides, and it was a barrier of the ultraviolet rays of the sun. Now, we have the springs of the fountains of the deep, and we have the oceans in the sky were pouring down in rivers upon the earth.
Was it also the oceans that were already on the earth?
There was ocean on the earth because the earth was what at that time? It was water on one side and earth on the other side. Okay? It had not been divided yet. It was what we call Pangaea or Gondwana. All earth on one side, all water on the other side. And the earth was completely surrounded by water, the oceans and the sky. Are you learning something? Have you ever heard any of this before, some of you? How many of you haven't? Okay, that's good. So there was an ocean in the sky, and just remember, this is a bubble. This is not just a circle. Okay? Hashemayim means uplifted waters. That had the original idea of that was the oceans in the sky. Hashemayim. Hash. Hashemayim. Hashemayim. That's what it was. Hashemayim. Now, something like this. That's what it looks like in Hebrew. Okay? Hashemayim. What?
Looks like Greek to me.
Okay, what is this funny looking thing in the middle of that pitchfork there, Brother Roger?
A dog-ish.
That's a dog-ish. What does it do?
It just
makes it into a double SH. Two SHs. Hash Shemayim. All right? You like that, young lady? Anyway, God calls the oceans come down in rivers from the sky. And then we have another event that they have never seen before, and it rained. It rained. Rain was coming down, and with rain and this great storm, there was thunder and lightning. And so this had to be very, very scary because these people on earth had never seen anything like this before. So we have these three sources of water. But God said through the Barith, the covenant, the diatheke of the rainbow, that he would never do this again. Okay? And God told mankind to scatter, multiply. They didn't scatter. And what did they do? They built a big city. That city was called Babylon. And they built a tower and completed that tower. And then God brought judgment upon them. And the tower was made out of what?
Bricks.
All right, bricks. Now, the earth at this time was, and if I had a globe here, you could see this very easily. The Earth, if you take a globe, you can look like you can just push those continents together, and they make one solid piece of water, of land and water. God divided it. That tower was shook down because the tectonic plates of the Earth began to divide, and the Earth was just floating all over. The water was going in between, and the Earth was just divided. Now, that's quite a what we call a seismic activity.
What's the time frame from the flood to when the tower? You don't know?
No, I can't tell you right now. I used to be able to tell you this stuff. My brain's empty now of all these little figures. You can look in some of your Bibles and you can tell that it'll have a time frame. There's even one what they call a chronological Bible. You can see this in it. But we have like 2,000 years before this happened, at least. Well, the earth was divided. This is when God confused all the languages. And how many languages are their root languages? Do you remember? 760 different root languages, roots.
Okay.
There are over 2,700 languages, more than that much. And there's all kinds of sub. How about Oki and English? Now, those aren't the same languages. How about Scottish? Now, we're speaking the same language, but we got different dialects. When God confused those languages, he confused the dialects also. All of this was... I used to have a firewood business so many years ago, and this one guy from Scotland tried to call me and order firewood. Oh, man, I couldn't understand a thing that man was saying. He's speaking the same language I am, but I mean, it's not the same language. It's a different dialect. Now, the wonderful thing there in the book of Acts, the second chapter was the unconfusion of the languages at that time, and everybody heard each person speaking in their own specific home dialect. Dialectone is what it says, dialect. Comes right out of Greek, dialect. We come down to here, to the promise now. The promise to Abraham is a unconditional covenant. That is a covenant of grace. A covenant of grace. And it is this blessing upon the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised in verse 9. For we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? While he was yet uncircumcised. Not while circumcised, but uncircumcised. Now, what was the physical sign of the covenant of the Abrahamic covenant? What was the physical sign?
Circumcision.
And so he circumcised all of his family and all of his slaves. All of them were circumcised. And from that on, all of these people were circumcised. And that was a physical sign of that covenant of Abraham. But the spiritual sign of the covenant is the circumcision of the heart.
Amen.
Believing.
Amen.
And that is a more important, according to these verses, that sign is more important than the physical sign.
Amen.
The physical sign is actually set aside in the New Testament, isn't it? The physical sign of Abraham is set aside. Now we live under the faith of Abraham, yet we are not circumcised by a covenant, so to speak. The doctors circumcise the men many times in our land, and it is no ceremony. That's all. No ceremony. Ceremonially circumcised. I heard a Jewish guy. He was listening to me preach on the radio one night for about 2 or 3 hours. He came in there. He said, "Man, you are a real rabbi." He said, "Have you been circumcised?" I said, "Yes." "Have you been circumcised by the covenant?" I said, "No." "No, I haven't." "Yes, but no. But my heart is circumcised."
Amen.
That's the most important circumcision, according to Paul. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of righteousness. Why are you baptized? To get saved or what? Or are you baptized? It's a work of righteousness, but it is not to get saved. It's a sign of the new covenant. Circumcision is a sign of the covenant of the law and of the Abrahamic covenant, but baptism is a sign of the new covenant. That's a physical sign of the new covenant. And Abraham was saved before he was circumcised, and you got to be saved before you're circumcised today. Or not circumcised, but baptized. That's a physical sign of the new covenant. If you look up here on this tabernacle here, this tabernacle is how that God worshipped, or how Israel worshipped God in the wilderness. Primarily, this tabernacle is a type of Jesus Christ. Everything in it is a type of him. But secondarily, it's a type of the church today. When you walk inside here, you come through five pillars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's five the number of, David?
Grace.
Five is the number of grace, isn't it? You're saved by grace?
Amen.
All right. There are 20 posts down through here. What is the number 10? Roger, you remember what the number 10 is? Sharon?
Divine order.
Two times divine order. We see that. Two times that. We see that. These are wooden stakes. Wooden stakes of acacia wood. But what are they covered with? Huh? Brass. On the outside, brass. Wood is a type of what? Humanity. Brass is a type of, in the Bible, of judgment. They're standing on 100-pound brass sockets down here, which are plates, 100 pounds each. These things are held up by stakes with by ropes with stakes in the ground. What are the stakes made out of? Brass, which is a type of judgment. Again, Jesus Christ, our Savior, was judged and condemned in place of us. That's what it's showing. White is what's white the color of?
Righteousness.
And on top of these, what kind of crowns do these have on top? Silver. What's silver a type of in the Bible? Are you writing all this stuff down, young lady? Silver is a type of what?
Redemption.
That's right. Redemption. So we have all of this, and we see this in Christ. Now, this is the type of Christ. And right here, on here we have cherubims out here with their wings outspread. And this cloth that this is made out of is beautiful, fine woven linen and goat's hair cloth. But in there, it's dyed with purple and blue and scarlet. What's the purple stand for, Brother Roger?
Royalty.
Royalty. Jesus was the king of the heavens, the king of glory, the king of the heavens and the earth. And what is blue a type of? Blue is a type of, Sharon, do you remember? Blue?
Red.
Huh?
I know red, not blue.
Okay, what's blue?
Sister. Royalty.
Blue is a type of heaven.
Heaven.
Heaven. You know, if it wasn't so smoggy here, the skies would be blue. Okay? Blue is a type of heaven. And then the red, the scarlet, is what?
Blood,
which Jesus Christ shed his blood to sign the new covenant. The new covenant was signed in his blood. The signature was in blood. Inside of here, when you're in Christ, the first thing you see is the sacrifice. And this is a weird thing. The sacrifice there. What's that altar made out of there, Christine?
Acacia wood.
That's wood. If you were going to burn something on an altar, would you make it out of wood? That's kind of not rational, is it? Why did God have that base of that altar made out of wood? Why? Brother Russ?
Sign of the cross.
Huh?
Sign of the cross.
It's a sign of that our Savior was human.
Okay.
The agnostics have left students in the world today Gnosticism. Gnosticism. These Gnostics have left. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. But all of this whole tabernacle tells us one thing, that Jesus Christ is righteous, that he's human, yes, John 1:14, and that he is the judgment of God was upon him for us, for our redemption. In here we have a wooden altar, but it's covered with brass, and it has brass grates in it, and it is 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet by about 4 feet, 4.5 feet tall, and it has a ramp going up to it, and the priest that ministers there, why does it have a ramp instead of steps? You will not go up to the altar in steps. Why not steps?
Because they would see their bare feet.
They would see their bare feet. They had robes on, and they could not see their bare feet because no flesh could stand in the presence of God. These high priests are taking the blood up there and the fat parts and putting on this altar, and they have to go up by a ramp, not steps. Man cannot ascend into heaven by any form of his own doing. Salvation is by grace.
Amen.
This, all of those in here are in Christ. And then baptism. Baptism, very important. This baptismal font, this brazen altar, the brazen altar, I've asked you this before. How many of you remember? What's it made out of? It's brass. Brass, but what? Where did the brass come from? Women's looking glasses. All right. Now, what kind of water did it have in there, Brother Roger?
Living water.
Water that was running, not from cisterns. It had to be from a string. Okay? That's what it's in there. And they would come in, and the priest had to be baptized the first time immersed in this. And then they'd wash themselves, and then only one would hear the minister. And look here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five pillars again. What are the pillars made out of? Acacia wood. What are they covered with here?
Gold.
Our Savior is human, but he's divine. Now, out here, all these boards, 48 of these boards around here, they're standing on silver sockets, two silver plates per board. But here, what are the plates here? What are the plates that those stand on?
Brass.
Because the judgment of God, still judgment. Because when we go join a church, we're under the judgment of the church. Alright? Brass, judgment. Alright, our Savior, secondarily in here. And in this room here is a type of the New Testament church. We have the Lord's Supper in the church. We have prayers, and we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. That candlestick was the tallest object in that room, which is called the Kadesh Hamakom. That's the holy place. The other one in there is the Kadesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. That everything in here is a type of heaven itself. This is the perfect cube. The perfect cube there, how big is that cube? 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet. What is that perfect cube city?
New Jerusalem,
1,500 feet by 1,500, or 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. What's it paved with?
Gold.
What's these walls paved with?
Gold.
And what's underneath them?
Wood.
Our Savior that was related to us here as our Goel, he came down and ministered to us. As we looked around all the four different flags, we studied that a few weeks ago. This covenant of grace. This covenant, we're saved by grace. Saved by grace. Go on a little bit further. Verse 12, and the Father of circumcision to those who are not only are of the circumcision, but also who follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Abraham is not the father of the law. You get that? Abraham is not the father of the law. He's the father of grace. The covenant of law is a conditional covenant, isn't it? If they did this, God would do this. If, all kinds of conditional particles, ifs all over the place. The covenant of Abraham is a covenant of grace, which is a type of your salvation today. Which he had while what? Read it over again. And the father of the circumcision, to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also who follow in the steps of faith of our father Abraham. Is Abraham your father? Yes, he is. I know that I'm a descendant of Abraham, literally. But I am also a descendant of him through faith. Which he had while uncircumcised. Uncircumcision. The uncircumcision is a type of faith. Who was the father of the law?
Moses.
Moshe. Moshe means what, Roger?
To save, to draw out.
In some place, aren't the life... what do they call those
lifeguards
called Moshe? Yeah. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world. Look at that, heir of the world, of the whole cosmos. He's going to own the whole cosmos one of these days. Did you know that? Was not through the law, was it? No. When did God promise Abraham that he's going to inherit the world? What was, in the Greek language, what was Joseph called? Soter Kosmou. Remember that? The Savior of the world. Is Jesus Christ the Savior of the world? Was Joseph a type of Christ? In many, many ways, he was a type of Christ. The Savior of the world, the heir of the world, was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void. You see that? They're not of their father Abraham, but they're of their father Moses. And the promise is what? Nullified. Made of non-effect. Look at that. Number 14. The law has been made useless, destroyed. Katergetai. All right? It has been emptied. 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 Made void. And the promise is nullified. Number 15. For the law brings about wrath. What does it do? It has penalties. And the penalties are wrath, aren't they? Thou shalt not kill. When you kill, then what happens? You get killed. The law brings about wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there any violation. Boy. In the covenant of grace, there is no law. In the covenant of grace, there is no law, is there? And there is no violation. Who was the one that all of the wrath of God set upon?
Brass. Look at all that judgment.
The brass, the judgment of God was upon our Savior.
Amen.
The law brings about wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there any violation. We're not saved by law. We're not saved by Moses. We're saved by grace.
Amen.
For this reason, it is by faith and then it might be in accordance with grace. In order that the promise may be certain. Look at that, number 16. The promise may be certain. May be certain. It's baby on. That means fast. That means it won't move. It won't move. For this reason, it is by faith that we might be in accordance with grace. In order that the promise may be certain, stable. That stability there is like on that mountain there where the temple's built, where the temple was built. Up here in Jerusalem, on that whole mountain, what's this made out of, Sharon? You've been there. What is that? Have you walked out there?
It's
just absolutely one big rock. It's one solid rock. That mountain is a rock. That whole thing, you walk out behind there, and it is a rock. It's a rock. It's been smoothed off in different places. It's one rock. One rock. One rock. What was the extension of that rock? Over there was Golgotha, was the other side of that rock. Golgotha, the place that Jesus was crucified, was the end piece of that rock. Think about that. In order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only of those who are of the law, that's the circumcision, isn't it? Now all those saved, if they were saved at all under the law, they were saved by grace. I want you to understand that. But also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. Abraham is the father of Moses. Moses is the father of law. But we're the father of faith. Our father is Abraham, the father of faith. We're saved by faith, outside of the law, before the law, and after the law. What was the law for? A pedagogue. What was that? What's that mean? Remember?
Teaches how about
sin. It was our teacher to teach us what sin is. When I went to church, I went to a charismatic church, very charismatic church. Old-time Pentecostal church. And I went there and they gave me a Bible. Because they didn't preach the Bible. I'm telling you, they didn't preach the Bible. They didn't hear it. I mean, you didn't hear it. They might preach one piece of Scripture here and one piece of Scripture there, but in the swimming pools, you've got these things you stand on and jump. Just a diving board. That's all it was, just a diving board. And it'd take it out of context, everything. You couldn't make sense out of it at all. But I read the Bible. I read every word in the thing. I read that Old Testament, I was miserable. When I came to the New Testament, I found I had a little bit of hope. And then my grandmother got killed, and I was orphaned. And boy, I went forward one morning, and my ex-grandmother... step-grandmother went down there and led me to the Lord. Amen. And I never learned anything about salvation in that church at all. Nothing. Zero. It was all feelings. That's all it was. Just feelings. Nothing. Later on, I got to reading the Bible more and I started putting things together. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. In the sight of him whom he believed, and even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. What in the world are we talking about there, Brother Roger? Calls into being that which does not exist yet.
Future generations? I don't know.
Genesis 9, 24 to 27. Remember what that is? That's the prophecy of the whole world. How the nations will react to each other. And it's also the prophecy in there of the church that will be taken over, that the Japhethites, the Gentiles, will become the leaders of the church. They will dwell in the tents of Shem in the age that we live in today. And then in Genesis, the 49th chapter, we have prophecy, the prophecy of Jacob. As he's dying, he prophesies the whole history of the nation of Israel and our salvation. And a Messiah to come through Judah. And then the last one that he blesses is Joseph. And Joseph is a type of Christ. And in that, we see that again. Let's go back there real quick and just look at that. Genesis chapter 49. It starts out, Jacob summoned all of his sons, and he began to, he said, assemble yourselves, and I'll tell you what shall befall you in the days to come. What's that, Brother Roger? I'm going to tell you things before they happen, before they exist. This is prophecy. You go on down here, and you get over there to verse number 8. Judah, your brother, shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. And what kind of a person was Judah? Ungodly buzzard. Wasn't he? Boy, he was an ungodly buzzard. How did this descendant of Judah come into existence? He paid his daughter in law to have sex with him. And she had twins. He thought she was a prostitute. And then we found out she's pregnant, he's going to have her burned up. And then she shows him his staff, his signet ring, and his belt, which had his genealogy on it. And he said, who did this thing to you? And he said, you're more righteous than I am. Yes, she was. God uses the unrighteous sometimes to do righteous things. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He crouches, he lies down like a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, as Jesus was. And as a lion who dares rouse him, a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And that means Jesus comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. He ties his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments with wine. Where is that? What's the fulfillment of that? Revelation, the 19th chapter, where Jesus comes as what? Adonai Ha'adonaiim, the King of Kings, and a King of Glories, the King of Kings, the King of Kings. And he washes his garments with wine, his robes in the blood of the graves. His eyes are darkened, darker than wine, and his teeth are whiter than milk. That's what it literally said. And then if you go on down to Joseph, look at what Joseph says. Joseph is a fruitful branch. Was Jesus the branch out of dry ground? Nazareth. A fruitful bough by a spring, its branches run over a wall, the archers bitterly attacked him. Did all the world attack our Savior? Yes, even his own people. And shot at him and harassed him, and his bow remained firm, and his arms were agile. From the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. He is a type, he is a metaphor, he is an allegory. He is a simile of Jesus to come. From the God of your father who helped you, and by the El Shaddai, Almighty, God Almighty, who blesses you with blessings of heaven above. El Shaddai, what does it mean? It's Almighty, isn't it? But what does the term come from? It comes from Shad, and El, and Shad. El means what? God. Page 39 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And then we have the word Shaddai. El Shaddai. Shad comes from breast, a mother's breast that nourishes her child. God is almighty because he was the one that succors us, that nurses us and feeds us and takes care of us. The blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of your father have surpassed the blessings of my ancestors. Up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. The hills, the eternal hills. What's the word mountain or hills in the Bible?
Government.
May they be the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers. Now let's go back to Romans again. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you in the sight of him who he believed, even God who gives life to the dead. Gives life to the dead. Do you know that no dead people are going to stand before Jesus? Even the lost people that stand before Jesus will be alive. They'll be resurrected. No dead shall ever stand before him, and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, and believed, and he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body now, as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah's womb was dead, and he was dead. Abraham had quite a few children, didn't he? Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith and giving glory to God. Even after Sarah died, he got married to Keturah, didn't he? That Japhethite, and he had several children by her. There's where I'm related to that one, and you too, probably. And being full assured that what he had promised, he was able to also perform. Therefore, also, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, for his sake only was it written that it is reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered up because of our transgressions, the judgment. I talked about all that brass in that tabernacle. That's a judgment of God upon Jesus because of our transgression, and he was raised because of our justification, or for the purpose of our justification. He was delivered up because of our transgression, and he was raised for the purpose. He died for our sins and raised for our justification. Thank you. Amen. Sharon, you were right. I did make it. By the grace of God. Brother David, go out and do something eternal. I hope the Word of God blessed you today.